for this one. This will be the Simcha recording. I don't want the Kas and the Ruach Ra to be on the same recording with the Simcha. It's a Shatnez problem. Okay, so this is where you can go to be happier. Simcha and Schok. So here we get a piece of advice from Koheles. And the advice is, satisfaction is hard to find in this world, but God may send it. Be satisfied if you can be, but don't pursue it. Okay? If it comes to you, treat it as a gift from God and be happy with it. Accept it, live it, treasure it. But if you go looking for it, you aren't going to find it. That's the philosophy that I see here in the book. So we're going to develop this. We're not going to finish it today, but we're going to develop this by looking at how this word simcha shows up in Koheles. And again, I'm going to try to avoid saying happy as a translation of simcha, because I don't think that's the right translation. As I said before, I believe satisfaction is a much better translation for simcha. It's used at least 17 times in this book, which sounds like a lot until you remember that Hevel was, I think, 38 times and Amal was 35. But, you know, that's par for the course in this book. I gave you the full list on your sheet in source number 8, and I gave you, next to each usage, just a digest of what's in those lines in Koheles, because I felt like we need that in order to really be able to grasp what's going on. So I'm very much on board with the idea of people flipping pages to actually see the verses. Don't take my summary as a given. I'm going to go through it, though, line by line, and hopefully for those who want to just see it and flip the pages later, you can work off of the outline I gave you here. Chapter 2, sentences 1 to 11, are the passages where, that's the passage where Shlomo describes his attempt to find satisfaction in this world. I built this, I amassed this, I had all this wealth, I had all these servants, and so on and so on and so on, and it ends up being Hevel. So multiple times in that passage, he talks about Simcha. He talks about, and again, I don't want to call it joy. I'm going to keep on saying simcha. So in chapter 2, sentence 2, he says, "Ulesimcha mazo osa." What is it that simcha brings about anyway? The simcha doesn't lead you where you want to go. Or towards the end of that passage, he says, in sentence 10, he says, "Lomanati es libi mikol simcha." I didn't keep my heart from any simcha. Ki libi sameach mikol amali. My heart was sameach in all of my work. So overall, the passage is that the theme in the passage is that he fails to find satisfaction, but you see simcha there. I see that there's a note in the chat. I'm going to just take a fast look. I see what you're trying to say. Yes, that is exactly correct. We're on the same page, Dahlia. Simcha and Kas are the opposite sides of the coin. That's entirely true. That's my read at any rate. In chapter 2, sentence 26, he tells us something that becomes very important as you read the book. He says that God gives simcha to good people. We just read this verse before when we were talking about Ra'us Ruach. This was the sentence which said that God has the one that God says is good. He gives him Chachma, he gives him Das, and he gives him Simcha. You see that? Chachma, Das, and Simcha. God makes good people Sameach. In chapter 3, sentences 12 to 13, right after that whole passage of there's a time for this, 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 which we're going to talk about, God willing, once we get through Simcha and Schok. That's my next target on our journey through Koheles. But after he's finished saying that everything has a time when it will happen, he says, since there's a time for everything to happen, therefore, the most you can do is be Sameach. You're going to go through everything. People are going to suffer various kinds of misery. People are going to experience various kinds of high points in life. And what you should really be doing is take the simcha that you got. And notice once again, I put it on your sheet. It's worth it to look at it in the sentence. In sentence 13, chapter 3, sentence 13. I'm just going to mute everybody because I'm getting background noise. He says, this person who eats and drinks and finds good, right? Bechol amalo, in all of his struggle, matas elokim hi. It's a gift from God. If you're sameach, it's because God made you sameach. And then further on in chapter 3, you have a section that describes the relationship of God with the human being, the place of the human being in the world, and he concludes in sentence 22 of chapter 3 by telling you, I'm going to flip to it in mine. Still getting background noise. He says, Ein tov me'asher yismach ha'adam b'ma'asav. There is nothing better for a person than to be sameach with his deeds, with his portion, ki hu chalko, that is his portion. If you ever wanted to know where does it come from, right, the ashir is the sameach b'chalko, right here, yismacha adam b'ma'asav, ki hu chalko. That is the person's lot. He goes on in chapter 4 to say, we saw this verse before when we were talking about Re'us Ruach, that the nation is not going to be sameach with its leader. It didn't like the old leader, and it's not going to like the new leader. Too bad. Then in chapter 5, sentences 18 and 19, again, he says, if you have simcha in your wealth, if you find work to do that makes you sameach, that is a gift from God. And then you get chapter 7, and Gita, this is along the lines of what you were remembering. Chapter 7, sentences 3 and 4. Sentence 2 is the one that you were thinking of specifically. Tov lalechas al beis evel milechas al beis mishteh. Right? Better to be go to the house of mourning than the house of celebration. And he says in sentence 3, we saw this before. Tov kas mi sechok. Kas is better than sechok, which we'll see is the expression of simcha. Because roa panim will improve the heart. And then he says, Lev chachamim beveis evel, the heart of the scholar, of the sage, is in the house of mourning. Velev ksilim beveis simcha, and the heart of the fool is in the house of simcha. We're seeing a lot here, and some of this obviously contradicts others, and that's okay. We'll deal. I just want us to see the list. In chapter 8, sentence 15, he says, just be happy in your God-given amal. God gave you amal to perform. Be happy in it. Chapter 9, sentence 7, you have a feast. Be happy. Be sameach in your feast, because God has accepted your deeds. Chapter 10, sentences 18 to 19, he says, laziness is a problem. You should work to get bread and wine and money, and that way you will find satisfaction. That will bring you simcha. And then the one you have to read inside, this one is one of the most fun verses in the entire book, a book full of fun verses. He says in sentence 9, Smach bachur b'yaldusecha, O youth, rejoice in your youth. Let your heart be happy, essentially. Have a good heart in your youth. Follow the paths of your heart and what your eyes see. Know that God's going to judge you for all of it. Have a good time. That's the eat, drink, and be merry, and you will be judged for it. So, there's a lot to talk about in this passage, and as I said, we're not going to do it all today. But first of all, some definitions. I do believe, and we've said this now already implicitly, simcha is satisfaction. It is the opposite of kaas. It is the opposite of ruach ra'ah. But it's not always emotional. Sometimes it is physical. Right? If you go back to chapter 10, sentence 19, he says it explicitly. Lischok osim lechem. They make a feast in order to achieve schok. V'yayin yisamach chayim. And wine will bring simcha to life. V'akesef yana es hakol. And money will enable everything. The sentence here is saying to me, you can get your simcha with physical sources. On the other hand, some of the other passages made it intellectual or emotional. Like the nation not having simcha with its leader was not about physical satisfaction. It was about emotional satisfaction. Sometimes you get a different term, not the term simcha, but instead you get the term tov lev, or nefesh tov. We find that in the Chumash, right? In the Tochacha, the warning in Parshas Kisavo of what will happen if we don't keep our national covenant with God. So we are told that we're going to be punished because our relationship with God was not with simcha v'tuv levav. So tuv levav, a good heart. So you see that here in Koheles. For example, in chapter 2, sentence 24, the very end of chapter 2, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Chapter 2, sentence 24, where he says, Ein tov ba'adam sheyochal v'shasa, ve'hera es nafsho tov ba'amalo. So he talks about hera es nafsho tov ba'amalo. It's you satisfy your nefesh in your work. It also shows up in chapter 9, sentence 7. You see it there as well, where we're told, Leich echol b'simcha lachmecha, eat your bread with simcha, u'shesei b'leiv tov yeinecha, and drink your wine with leiv tov. It's in parallel with simcha. There is also, enough with that. Finally, the word schok. The word schok, I've already said, is an overt expression of simcha. If you look on the sheet in source number 9, you can see the references for it. It is, schok is sometimes directly parallel with simcha. So chapter 2, sentence 2, you have it. Chapter 10, sentence 19, you have it as well. I'm right in chapter 10, so I'll read it out. Lischok osim lechem v'yayin yisamach chayim. We just read this before. They make bread, they make a feast for schok, and wine will bring simcha to life. Schok and simcha go together in that sentence. So it's about an emotional state. In chapter 7, sentence 3, it's the opposite of kaas. But sometimes it's an overt expression of how you are feeling. It's not what's inside, it's what is expressed. So I'll just give you one example of the two that I gave you on the sheet. If you go back to chapter 3, sentence 4, from that poem of There's a Time for Everything, Eis livkos ve'eis lischok, right? There is a time for crying and there's a time for schok. So it's the expression. That's the idea. So, in order to avoid confusion here, a quick summary of what we've been saying. The term simcha shows up a lot in the book, 17 times. Quite often it seems to be given by God. Simcha has an analogous term, nefesh tov, tov lev. Schok will be the expression of simcha, and simcha itself seems to mean satisfaction. But the problem that the word poses is in its apparent contradictions. At the end of chapter 2, we say that God gives simcha to people who are good. In chapter 9, sentence 7, we say you should be sameach because God has accepted your deeds. On the other hand, in chapter 7, we said the heart of the fool is in the house of simcha. And in chapter 11, we said, eat, drink, and have simcha, and know that God is going to judge you for it. So now I've got a problem. Is simcha a bad thing? Is simcha a good thing? Right? We're clear on the problem? Suggestions? I've done a lot of talking. Suggestions? Yeah, Dahlia.
In life, it's a balance.
Yeah, one second. Dahlia was just unmuting.
Sorry, Dahlia. You go first.
No, I think I was going to say the same thing you were saying, Rose, that, basically the instruction here is that there are nuances to simcha, and there are times when it's appropriate, and there are times when it's not. And when you need to take something seriously, acting foolish and silly and, kas is better. You know, like if somebody was telling you that you need to escape from a war and you're laughing about it and saying this is ridiculous, and I'm happy here, obviously this is a very inappropriate expression of happiness. But, if you're at your bar mitzvah and you're happy, and God's given you all these blessings, that's appropriate. So, it's like, be appropriate with your anger, be appropriate with your happiness. That's the way I see it.
Right. So I hear you. The problem that I have with that read, and Rose, I hear that that's where you are with it also. The problem that I have with that read is that you don't really find simcha, maybe schok, but you don't really find simcha used in this book in a frivolous way ever. You could read schok that way legitimately at one point, but it doesn't seem like he's going there with it. It really doesn't sound like it. Yeah, Rebecca, you were going to say?
I was going to follow. I was also going to say in terms of that schok doesn't have to be... there were some negative words that Daya used and Daya nothing. There was, and schok has a wide span.
Yeah, it does. I mean, one approach to this problem is what the Gemara does. Go back to approach number one to this book, which is read everything in the book as leading towards a religious message. And that's that Gemara in Shabbos that we saw before in source number 11. And so the answer is that the schok, which I rendered there as laughter, which is where we usually use it, refers to the laughter of God upon the wicked in this world, as opposed to anger, which is the anger of God on the righteous in this world. Better that the righteous people should suffer whatever they have to suffer here, and then they don't have to in the next, as opposed to if they, when the wicked do well in this world, and so on. That's an approach to it. Another approach along the same approach number one lines is we're going to see Ibn Ezra and Rashi distinguish between simcha felt by a tzaddik and simcha felt by a rasha. When the righteous person has simcha, that's a good thing. When a bad person has simcha, that's a bad thing. Well, that's an easy way to solve the problem. That's a way, at any rate, to solve the problem. Professor Zer Kavod in the Dat Mikra tries to distinguish between simcha, and this, Dahlia, goes a little bit towards where you were, tries to distinguish between simcha that comes from eating and drinking and simcha that is a result of amal, a result of struggle. You worked hard and you had simcha. So it's a quality of the simcha being different. But I think you don't need to go that route. I think the message can actually be read as clear and consistent from beginning to end, and it's the message that I started this discussion with. Satisfaction is hard to find in this world, but God might send it. Be satisfied if you can, but don't pursue satisfaction. Don't make that your agenda. And what I want to do, it's going to be next time since it's 2:30 at this point, but what I want to do next time is show how this message emerges from the use of simcha in this book, and we'll see what Kohelis's advice is. And then after that, I want to go on to the poem in chapter 3, a time for this and a time for that, and so on. There are so many different reads of what's going on in that poem. I actually, purely by accident, somebody asked me a question about a book called Bina Le'itim that he was looking for. And I went on HebrewBooks.org to find it, and I found, accidentally, along the way, some other Bina Le'itim, which it presents 160 different interpretations of the Ace poem in chapter 3. I'm not going through that for this shiur, but I may give you the link so you can peruse it at your own leisure. All right, thank you very much, everybody.